We've mentioned the love letter way back then. I mean, I would like to think it's still a thing, to be honest.
Yeah, be careful. I remember way back when, so yeah.
Oh, I think it's definitely still a thing.
It is,
but
yeah.
To play devil's advocate, way back then, how did people word their romantic intentions, and how do you think we've changed since writing the love poems?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. The love letter in the most sort of traditional sense, Shakespearean sonnet or some such, and everyone trying to replicate that, you know, compared to, you know, as you said before, maybe an SMS, for instance, so if we use that as a comparison, the language of the former is much more poetic, much more metaphorical, much more detailed, and it's longer, typically, as well. And, of course, that then has a lot to do with the affordances of the digital technology, which you've been talking about already and alluding to, and the way in which we can talk more about, but the way in which we can sort of package all this affection in different ways, whether it's gifts, whether it's images, whether it's emojis or whatever the case might be, very different than really having, you know, a handwritten, so not a digital, but a handwritten script, which, of course, affords other things as well in terms of not having that immediate response. The nature of that handwritten mode means that you can, you know, send it to a loved one in the post, but you're not going to get an immediate response, or you can put it in a, you know, a loved one's desk at school or some such, but you may not get an immediate response. Or the response back might itself be another love letter that is written that takes time and so on.
Do you think the fact that we're now using more, and I say we, I'm making lots of generalizations, but do you think the fact that it's very common to use emojis and GIFs and selfies and more instant communication, do you think we're quicker in the way we flirt, how people communicate romantic love on dating platforms like Tinder and Bumble and eHarmony and Grindr? We're very instant in our love poems these days.
Yeah, it is very instant. And look, you know, I'm hesitant, as you are, I can tell in your question, to sort of make a general statement of that, you know, we're faster or we're slower or less affectionate, we're more affectionate. But certainly there is, in terms of the semiotics of and the affordances of the mode of a love heart emoji or a kiss or a meme or whatever it might be that can capture everything, you know, to some extent. It's different, of course, and there are certain affordances that we get from the sonnet or the three-page love poem. But there is one of the affordances of the digital technology is its speed and its immediacy. The short answer is, of course, we can do it quicker. Whether people are necessarily doing it quicker, I mean, one of my suspicions is that, yes, there is more immediacy. There's definitely more dialoguing and immediate dialoguing. Yeah. So I can send you, for instance, a love heart emoji, then you can reply back or not, and there can be but what's interesting is I don't think there's not any less meaning making or affection being made, but I think too, if you're wanting to try to, hypothetically speaking, quantify this, I think the act of the back and forth and the different kind of emojis and the selection of images and the selection of gifts and memes in and of itself takes time, you know, and could arguably be just as long. And whilst there's an immediacy, I don't know if it's necessarily just a simple matter of going, okay, well, I send an emoji and then I've got a date with someone. I actually think it's a process in and of itself that takes time, but it's just quite different in terms of the mode and the way in which it is communicated.
Yeah, that would be one amazing emoji to win a date.
Yeah, that's right.
But we've been talking about the online expressions of love, but can we say the same has changed for face-to-face communication? Do you think the emoji love, the way we use emojis has changed the way that we communicate face to face?
That's a really good question, and it's actually something, there's not much research out there because it is something that's really hard to sort of, you know, to experiment on and analyze. I can sort of talk anecdotally, and I would think not. I don't think so. And I guess my position as a social linguist as well is that I'm not suggesting you're suggesting this, but I'm very hesitant to sort of talk in deficit terms about the shift to a more digital age. And for me, I see it as something it's a different mode of communication, and we can express things differently and get our meaning across differently. But I don't necessarily see it as in deficit, if that helps.
Yeah, no, I understand it. Mm. It's not a black and white issue. I mean, there's certainly people on one side of the fence, like I myself am kind of, I feel a bit more old-fashioned, and I think, you know, we still write each other notes and we still have meaningful conversations. It doesn't stop any of that. But then you've also got plenty of people who might be like, back in my day, we had proper conversations and wrote letters and waited for it to come in the post, and it was more meaningful. But
and sorry to interrupt you, and that is one of the reasons why I do a lot of media around languages that I'm really, really want to get out of sort of deficit talk around the language always changes, and linguists in particular are not interested in sort of prescribing what we should and shouldn't do, and they very rarely will talk in terms of bad or poor shifts, you know, in terms of language. It's just different. It's worth observing. But to go back to your question around, you know, has that affected our oracy? There's some stuff that has been done research-wise in terms of, you know, schooling and the amount of screen time that students might be having, for instance, and, you know, is that affecting their capacity to write formally in terms of, you know, genre writing, story writing or procedural writing or whatever it might be? And is it also affecting their capacity to talk and engage? I mean, I can talk anecdotally from my own experience, my experience with my partner's child and his friends. He's 9 years old. Mm-hmm. Teenagers that I know, colleagues that I know. No, I mean, their oracy, as far as I can tell, is, you know, superlative. It's, you know, very fluent. In fact, I'm often surprised at how expanded, if we're going to talk technically about their sort of language capacity, I find the linguistic repertoire, that is the amount of meaning that these young people have, to me actually seems more than what I had.
Yeah, now, again, all the acronyms.
The acronyms, the anti-language, the subversive language, I think there's something to be said for the amount of meaning that they receive. And that is, a lot of that is through the affordances of digital technology and their capacity then to reproduce that in different ways. So, I mean, again, I couldn't claim any sort of cause or effect with respect to emojis and a development of oracy and oral communication. But for me, anecdotally speaking, I think there's a lot of fluency in oracy with our young people.
That's so true. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there, but it's been an absolute delight to talk to you. Thank you.
Oh, no, my pleasure.